The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In May of 1940, German Nazi forces invaded the Netherlands. And 2 years later, when Peter was 7, the Nazis seized Peter's entire family except for Peter and his mother. And this is a story of one young Jewish boy who survived the Holocaust. He said, "One night I was awakened sometime after midnight. I heard trucks pulling up in front of our apartment house. I remember hearing a metal door slamming and the harsh voices of young soldiers yelling, 'Judenhaus, Jews, get out.' I could hear kids crying and women screaming and doors being kicked in, and I was 7 years old. My mother told me that Aunt Katie and Uncle Leo were gone." "What do you mean, gone?" I asked her. A month later, Grandma and Grandpa were gone. Then my father was gone. My mom recognized that it was just a matter of time before we were caught, so she got hold of the Dutch Underground, which was a group of regular citizens willing to work together to resist the Nazi government. The Underground took care of providing false papers to Jews, and they would help Jews find a place to hide. Peter and his mother survived. This was a dreadful situation, a very serious, dreadful situation to be in. There's one copy of Peter's story in the back there if you would like to read more about Peter and his mother's stories. They moved to New York and then moved to California, and back now they live in Seattle. But this situation tells us how super wicked people in the world have become. But this wickedness, however, is very old. Paul wrote to Philippians from prison, another dreadful situation. We see this even more in the Old Testament. Each time the Israelites went rogue and didn't want to follow God's ways, and there were wickedness and violence in their community. And today's gospel tells us of John the Baptist's preparatory mission to get people to adopt a new lifestyle, to forsake all this wickedness. It's this intention in human beings to think, okay, I'll do well. I must do this so that I can do well. And the more I look at it, and I realize that whatever we see that is good for us, we end up seeing that it's really not good for us at all. We should have considered the source of life. That's where we should be. And then John the Baptist is saying that here, I want you to turn back to God in true repentance and conversion. So I argue that without the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives, through repentance and conversion, we are likely to repeat the same mistakes of the past and have a hard time in the dreadful situations of our lives, and we have many. There's 9/11, there is the pandemic we just went through, there is the genocide in Rwanda, there is the Holocaust, there's plenty dreadful situation in our lives. And it seems that the more I was reading this story of John the Baptist, which, by the way, is amazing, I saw a picture that John the Baptist was trying to, for us to see a picture of a window. A window, it's a spiritual way of viewing this window, of this door that is from God. That's a heavenly door that is from God. And that was his mission, to get us to prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord is coming. And Luke is quoting the prophet Isaiah, showing them and us the things we would see in that opening door. He says, there will be a straight path to God's salvation, meaning the rescue, meaning or healing or renewal. All valleys will be filled and all the mountains will be made brought low. And to me, it tells me the story of our lives, where we have been doing thousands of miles and your ankles are smoke and your back is smoke from all the work you've been doing, and your hands are smoke for those using their hands. Maybe mine is because of the push-ups, and that might not count. And the valleys and mountains are those tough experiences that we've met with the world of darkness and shadow of death that have wounded us. And for Paul, as someone who has seen and experienced that door from heaven, that invisible door, we can understand now why we can sense joy in his words, even if he's in prison. If it was me, I would be blaming the people who brought me into prison, and I would be, my heart would not be okay. But he is so full of joy, full of life from God, and that amazes me. He was sensing Christ's compassion and the grace of God coming from that heavenly door. And he was wishing the Philippian church to also be able to tap into that door, to experience the love of Christ, even in the midst of their dreadful situations. We have so many around. There's Michigan, there's all kinds of dreadful situation we read in our newspapers, even in our TV. There's so many dreadful situations. And the interesting part is that he's telling us also to look into that door for your salvation, for your healing. Do you have pain in your side? Look into that door for your salvation, for your healing, for the anointing from God to come from that door. Let God's Holy Spirit guide you and open your eyes to Christ's deep peace and comfort from today onward into eternity. If there is anything that the pandemic has taught us, is that everything can change in the blink of an eye. So where is our hope? Where will be your hope? When the pandemic came, we went to the grocery store and the toilet papers were gone. Where will be your hope? And when we woke up in the morning, the president was dead when we were in Rwanda. There was nothing on the shelves in stores. There's nothing. So we were, okay, what's going to happen? So where is your hope when the dreadful situations all around seems to be so encroaching to you? Where is our hope? Don't let your heart's inner peace be disturbed by anything. Guard your heart. Barricade your heart. Paul's peace was full even while he was in prison. And what does that teach for us today? We can't put off our intention to reform our hearts. Turn to God and ask him, Jesus, I want you to reform my heart. I don't know, I've been looking for salvation in the wrong places, but I want to start anew in a new relationship with you. I want to begin our intention to change my lifestyle to fit God's will. I need to be right with God in this moment. Perhaps even at least begin with the intention, I want to begin with you, Jesus Christ. And delaying it would not be a good idea, because we don't get to see that door, which, by the way, is in that beautiful canticle that our brother Vernon sang beautifully for us, the song of Zechariah, the priest who was in front of God praying for the Messiah. And this is what he said. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. God's love for us, beloved, is beyond human understanding. Whatever valley of mountains you have been facing lately, I invite you to bring it to the altar before the heavenly door, before Christ. He is the only one who can deliver us. Amen.